One thing about Brother Hobbs, he might be shaky and weak and staggery, but when he gets up to sing, he still has that loud voice. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but that was great singing. I appreciate it. And Brother Green, we certainly appreciate your singing, and the congregational singing was outstanding too. So we're grateful to God for all the songs that were sung as they laid the foundation for our sermon tonight. So the last song especially, I suppose because I heard it last, is involved in our sermon tonight. I want to take just a moment to praise God and thank God for His goodness and mercy in allowing me the privilege to come here one more time. And we're grateful to God that we could have fellowship with the Lord's people in this place. And again, we are deeply concerned about the being and well-being of the church. We pray that God will bless you, and that He will sustain you, and that He will use you to His honor and His glory. We've been blessed with great hospitality, and we're thankful for that. Brother and Sister Hobbs, along with the churches, what the church has done, and their family, they just are very long-suffering. They're bearing and forbearing. And so we are grateful for that. We always appreciated, the Bible talks about a preacher being hospitable. And for hospitality, we are greatly blessed. We've never regretted one time of being here or being with Brother and Sister Hobbs and family. They again put up with me quite a bit in my blundering. And so we're grateful for them, thankful for the church. We appreciate so very much the love offering that was given. And thank God for His, again, providing for the needs of His people. And we pray the Lord will bless each one of you now as you continue to serve God in this place. As we open our Bibles tonight, to 1 Thessalonians, Brother Hobbs got my notes. He did it again. So this is it. I'm leaving. No, I really do. I joke about that. But I thank God for His divine providence in working in the song service and in the scripture reading. And we appreciate that. And it just simply emphasizes the message. We appreciate the lesson or the devotional that was brought tonight. And I've got a little bit of that in my sermon. And so we're thankful for the background for this message. And pray the Lord will use it. Our desire tonight is, of course, to bring words of comfort and encouragement to this church and urge you to continue in the Lord's service. We pray the Lord will bless you as you serve God. And we want to preach tonight on the subject, living in expectation. Living in expectation. And in 1 Thessalonians, as Paul writes to these Thessalonians, he is laying the foundation again for their present and for their future as relates to their being children of God. He tells us about how they were saved. He tells us how they responded to that salvation. He tells how they were waiting for the Lord to come back. So I want to read tonight, begin with verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So in this chapter, he's laying again the foundation for the saints of God at Thessalonica. This is the same thing that ought to impress us tonight. God saved us. He chose to do it. God redeemed us and reconciled us. And as a response to that, they became followers of the Apostle Paul and of the Lord. They become examples to those that were about them. They sounded out the word of the Lord. They were servants of God. And then they were waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So we're living in expectation tonight. We live in expectation when it comes to the temporal time that we live in. And we're to live by faith. And when God told Peter to cast his net on the other side of the ship, and he responded, we'll do it at your word. And he responded, and God blessed that effort. And so we need to understand that we're to live in expectation when it comes to our daily lives. God promised to bless us. God promised to watch over us. God promised to supply our needs. God promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we are to thank God tonight that there are victories in the Lord Jesus that take place on this earth. And we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about that tonight, I would hope that we might apply this to our lives. Are we living in expectation? Are we living in hope? Are we living in faith? If we're living in expectation, that will keep us living. If we're living in expectation, that'll keep you living. It will motivate you. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Philippians 1 and 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now that's living in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So living in expectation brings living in faith. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 130, the 130th Psalm, and verse 5, Psalms 130, verse 5, I wait for thee, Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. He was trusting the Lord, and he says, I am depending on you entirely for the present, and thank God you did it in the past, and I'm looking forward to that in the future. So we are to be waiting tonight, expecting tonight, longing tonight, desiring tonight, waiting for the Lord to manifest his presence. Jesus told the disciples in that first chapter of the book of Acts, or in the Gospels, end of the Gospels also, they were to go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they were waiting for God to fulfill his promise. And he did do that. And then just before he leaves, Brother Hobbs, he reminds them, or they are reminded by the angels, that this same Jesus who was taken up to you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And that doesn't that rejoice our hearts tonight? They watched Jesus go out of sight. They had mixed emotions. They weren't real sure about things. But the angel assured them, don't stand here gazing up into heaven. Jesus is coming back. The same Jesus that went away is coming back. You go back to Jerusalem. They didn't just stand there and wait for Christ to come back. They had things to do. And they went back to do those things. And I'm glad tonight that we can live in expectation. There are so many verses that deal with this tonight. And we'll just run through a few of them. We want to, do this because we want words of comfort and encouragement. We want you to face the reality that we're not alone, that the Lord is on our side. In the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 13, Titus 2 and verse 13. Great passage of Scripture on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in verse 11, it tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Jesus appeared the first time to do what? He appeared the first time to take away our sin. And He's coming back the second time, and He's going to bring the finalization of this salvation. And so when we think about being saved by grace, and it brings us to verse 13. Of course, we ought to read, we'll read verse 12, teaching us, you see, grace that saves you, and it's sovereign grace that saves you, and it's the grace of God that brings salvation. But the same grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Beloved, as you go day by day, we need to live a holy life and then expect the Lord Jesus to come back. Jesus Christ is coming. And as He comes back, will He find faith on the earth? Well, I believe He will, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And we can expect faith here, but how much, I do not know. So here we find, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He reminds us in verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And so our expectation tonight is for the blessed hope that Jesus Christ is soon to come back. And when we think about His coming, it ought to motivate us. The Bible says that when the Lord comes back, we'll be like Him. And those that have this hope in them purify themselves. So the coming of Christ, living in expectation, will be a blessing to our hearts. We can find joy and peace and happiness in that. In the book of 2 Corinthians, book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know," now how did they know? Well, because they'd been taught the Word of God. "For we know," Romans 8:28, "for we know," that all things, "for we know," it means that you've learned about it. "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so we're living in expectation, and in this we groan. Once in a while, I hear Brother Hobbs groan. Then Brother Hobbs hears Brother Powell groan. Then we groan together. And "for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And so that's expectation. As much suffering as people have in this world physically, as much pain and anguish, and I thought about that as Sister Hobbs was in intense pain, and God sustained her, but it was real, literal pain. And she went through that, and you've been through a lot of pain, but we live in expectation. That will disappear one day entirely. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow because of the coming of the Lord Jesus. So we live in expectation. We expect that to happen. Will God take care of His children in this world? Of course He'll take care of us in this world. Does He heal His people in this world? Yes, He brings healing through the means that He chooses to do so. And so we live in expectation. I'm not always going to have this body. I'm not always going to have the outward man. I shall have a glorified body. So we live for that day to come. In Job 19:25. Job knew, had been taught a lot of things, and in the book of Job 19:25, he expresses, he was actually saying, "I don't understand all this," but in Job 19:25, For I know. Isn't that good? There it is again. For I know. Now, when God took him through those experiences that he had for a purpose that God has used down through the ages, Job groaned somewhat. But he says, I don't understand all that's happening, but I tell you one thing I'm absolutely positive of, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So he lived in expectation. He was in a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of anguish. He lost his family, lost his land, lost his cattle, lost his wife, lost all the possessions that he had, temporal possessions, sat on the ash heap, scraping off the scabs from his boils, but he lived in expectation. And so it takes a lot of grace to live in expectation when things are not outwardly going well. And I trust this church will be living in expectation. As long as you're here, Brother Hobbs and I may disappear. And of course, you may disappear with us. I don't know about that. That'd be okay. We're not selfish. You know, we'll let you go. But one day we may not be here. But our desire is that the church will go right on expecting the Lord to come and living like they're living now, and giving and doing the things of God, sending the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, you see, not only did the New Testament saints have this hope, but the Old Testament saints have this hope. Talking about Abraham, chapter 11, verse 10, for he lived for a city. You know, when Lot chose the plains that were well watered, and they said, Job, that's awful. You should, that's awful, Abraham. You should have that. He said, that's all right. I'm willing to live in a tent if needs be. And the reason is, for he looked for a city whose builder and maker, for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. And so he was living by faith. And he was expecting something. And he knew that he was going to go to heaven. He went through a lot of testings when he had to offer up Isaac on the altar as a sacrifice before God. And he went through an awful lot. But God sustained him. He was living by faith. And I like that, brother. I got me a sermon out of that. If it works, I'll send it to you. but it was good, that faith. But I like that. I like the way he had it lined out there. And I was kind of hoping he would go for another 30 seconds. So he was looking for a city. And then in the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 55, Acts 7 and 55, how did Stephen keep going during that long time that he was being stoned and ridiculed and being stoned again and stoned and he was about to die? Well, he tells us in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven. That's what we're to do, beloved. He was living in expectation. He knew the Lord was there, and he knew the Lord was making intercession for him, and he knew that God had promised to be with him, and he looks up into heaven. Now, it's hard to live by faith if you're looking at the ground. And so he lifted up his eyes, looked into heaven. And says, or it said, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's beautiful. He was living in expectation. I believe the Lord assured him, Stephen, just a little bit and you'll be up here. So he was living in expectation. They couldn't stone him out of that. They couldn't ridicule him out of that hope. He just kept on hanging on to that. Didn't matter what they did. He was living by hope. and expectation. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 and 5, I meant to read this to begin with, but it's good any time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, or verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Now, we cover that quite a bit, but notice the last phrase, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come back. He's given you a commission to perform. And you need to be expecting him to come back, and you need to be living by faith. You need to follow the zeal that was mentioned in Titus, for the Lord is coming back. So every time we assemble together, we remember, in remembrance of Christ, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so even in the Lord's Supper, when we commemorate his death and the anguish of his suffering, he injects this in there. As long as you do that, he says, till he come. Just keep doing this, because he's coming, and you just keep doing this in remembrance of him, you'll be blessed, and one day it will be reality, and we won't have to have the Lord's Supper anymore, or observe the Lord's Supper anymore, or baptize anymore, because it will be a reality. We'll be there with the Lord, and we'll be eating of the bread of life. And he's going to break bread for us in heaven. He's going to feed, the Bible says, feed us as we enter into heaven. And we praise God for that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any man should perish. Now, beloved, that's wonderful. God's going to save his people. Amen. And these people, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also shall, and the works that are burned therein shall, or the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing this, that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation in God? And see how the second coming ought to motivate us to live right. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, now that wrath of God on the unsaved people is going to be real, but nevertheless, things get as bad in this world as it looks like it's going to get just before Christ comes back. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blame. So living in expectation will do something for you. It will give you comfort and peace and realization. I love that song, and we ought to sing that a little more that he sang at the last. Maybe I can get a copy from you. It's probably in some of the Bible. I've heard that years ago. And I suppose maybe it's just old people to sing that. I don't know. But it is really worthwhile. We appreciate that. Yeah. Who?
Marvin.
Oh. Okay. Shall we hasten on before the Lord comes back? I hope he does come back. And Brother Hobbs, what did he sing about? Well, he sang about that glorious day. What a day that will be. And it's real. It's something that's actually going to happen. It really is going to take place. And where is the promise of his coming in the world? It says, yeah, my Your grandfather, my grandfather, they said Jesus was coming. He hadn't come yet. He's not going to come. But, beloved, he will come. And we shall be with him forever and forever. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21. Philippians 1 and verse 21 and 22. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Heaven is far better than anything on this earth. We all can. Many times we get concerned about death, and death is a real experience that we go through, or will if the Lord doesn't come back. But this reminds us that it's far better to go to heaven. Now, it's hard when our family's members die, but they just have gone to a better location. I don't know who I was talking to, whether my sister or somebody. It might have been in one of the messages, but when I think about that, we live in Florida, and I feel bad you don't live there. I mean, it's paradise. It was till I got there, and it kind of deteriorated somewhat. But I cannot see you when I'm in Florida. I'm there. It's real. You're up here, and that's real. Well, beloved, that's the way it is when people go to heaven. They are just temporarily. We're just temporarily separated. And we're going to be both together, or all of us together, when we go before the Lord. So we can rejoice from that standpoint. Then in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, actually, our citizenship is in heaven. Kenneth's going down to pick up a car and bring it back up here, and you have to do the title work, you know, and all that junk. Well, our citizenship is in heaven. We have a title to heaven because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He's already fixed it up. And we're going to experience the reality of being a citizen of heaven. So he says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so there's reality. The Lord is coming back. And we should be looking for that coming. That will again keep this church on course and will keep us on choice. Three or four other verses, and we are going to dismiss. Even though I think what I'd like to do sometimes, we have some people down that come to church down at Naples Park Baptist, and they go home in the summer. And there's a couple of them that won't tell me when they're leaving. And they just want to go. And I suppose maybe in a way I kind of feel like, wouldn't it be good tonight to just be back in Florida, go to Florida. And that doesn't mean that I don't care for you, but it's difficult to be separated. But in the book of Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so I want you to remember the great joy we'll have when we go to heaven. Then in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And so God's people, one day, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. In the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25, Jude 24 and 25, again, as we approach the book of Revelation, which is the consummation of all things. Jude was used of God to pin down verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty both now and forever. Amen. And I want you to think tonight about the blessedness of living in expectation. I wish I'd do that more. I think I'd be happier and would enjoy life more if I did that. Lastly, in the 23rd Psalm, verse 6, which I'm sure is familiar to all, chapter 23, verse 6, after he's talked about all the Lord has done for him and all the joy that he has in the Lord and about passing through the valley of the shadow of death and God preparing a table for him in the presence of his enemies and anointing his head with oil, he says in verse 6, Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved, we one day will be in that upper house, that city whose builder and maker is God. Live in expectation, and you'll be blessed, and will be a blessing to others.